This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:05, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank, with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies, call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to WSMI Sports Saturday on this early part of June. And Uncle Ralph, hard to believe, already June.
Yeah, it's even more harder to believe to see all the combines in the wheat fields on the 9th day of June.
How about that?
That is really early.
Good for straw baling, though. It's not 100 degrees yet.
Yeah. If you can find straw to bale.
Yeah, I guess that's a little bit of a problem. We have found Don Walker and Myrna Moore. They are in studio to talk about the upcoming Montgomery County Fair, June 20th through the 24th. Guys, thank you very much for a few minutes of your time this morning.
Thank you for having us.
Also in studio is Scott Etling. He will be participating in the MMA fights on Friday night, the 22nd, at the Montgomery County Fair. Scott, thank you. All right. Let's get talking about these MMA fights. It's been how many years now since they have been at the Montgomery County Fair?
This is our fourth year, 3 years with Mark Fiore as our promoter.
And this has turned out to be really one of the most popular events at the fair.
It really has. We've been blessed with good weather, and so it makes it a really great outdoor show. It's a completely different venue than what most people are used to, and they really enjoy it.
And when people come out on the 22nd, how many fights can they expect on the card?
Well, we're guaranteed by contract at least 12, but last I knew, Mark had about 16 bouts lined up.
That's awesome. And Scott Etling will be fighting in one of those fights. And Scott, you got your Topper football shirt on there, proud graduate of Hillsboro High School. Just kind of talk a little bit maybe about how you got in to MMA.
First started training whenever I was in eighth grade, my end of my eighth grade year. My freshman year, I actually took my first fight. I lost. I ended up breaking my hand, and I just kept trained for about a solid 8 weeks before I took another fight, and went on a seven winning streak, and just went from there.
You had your first MMA fight when you were a freshman in high school?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. That's early, impressive.
Early start.
I would say so. Just kind of talk a little bit about the training regimen, the type of dedication that goes into this.
I mean, if you're gonna be a fighter, you might as well dedicate all your time. And you know, if you want to be the best, you're gonna have to train. You know, every day. It's not just something you can train 1 or 2 days for and expect to win.
I guess if you train 1 or 2 days, you can expect to get beat down pretty much, huh?
Yeah.
So as you have gone through your career here, I think you said off the air you're 8-4.
Yeah, 8-4.
How would you assess your performance in those 12 fights?
Every fight I'm getting better. It's just, you know, it's a slow process, but I'm moving up and hoping to go pro in September.
Nice. What's your style?
I'm unorthodox and
ground and pound.
Yep. I mean, either way, it's stand up, ground and pound, wherever it goes, I'm comfortable with it.
Of course, Matt Hughes has had a lot to do with the development and interest of MMA around here. Is that somebody that kind of caught your attention when you were growing up?
Yeah, I was a big fan of Matt, and there's a few other UFC fighters out there I was a fan of, but Matt was my main one, and he helps us train every once in a while, and him and his brother. Appreciate their help.
And Don, when you have an event like this at the Montgomery County Fair, whenever you can have local fighters like Scott, that only helps build the interest in the crowds.
Oh, yes. And we're fortunate that here in our county and nearby Macoupin, we're going to have several fighters this year from the two-county area. There's at least three or four boys from Mount Olive area. There's one from the Staunton area. There's a couple, at least two, I think, from Hillsboro.
We have Brandon Shell, Mike Etling, Ben Chesser, and Aaron Pope fighting at the Butler Fair.
And having a gentleman like Matt Hughes, who has been very successful in the fight game, local gentleman, does not hurt either.
No, that helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Pope boy mentioned, he's from Farmersville.
Okay.
So Montgomery County is pretty well represented from north to south.
And Mark Fiore was a big principal person in getting these fights started at the fair. As you think back, Don, to the first year that these fights were held, did you have any idea that it would turn out to be as popular as it has been?
Well, no. I got to say yes and no, because Myrna and I, the first year, we tried to be the promoters, and that was a real challenge. We ended up hiring a fella, and we learned a lot. And it wasn't one of the easiest things that we've attempted to do out there at the fair, because we had to abide by state regulations, and that gets trying.
I guess you could say, Don, it was a real challenge for you too, and probably a very educational thing too.
very educational, and some of it we still haven't forgotten, and this is our fourth year. But it's much easier now having Mark here as the promoter.
Don Walker and Myrna Moore with the Montgomery County Fair joining us here on Sports Saturday. The fair coming up June 20th through the 24th. Also, Scott Etling, one of the fighters, joining us in studio. And, Scott, you were saying you're going to be moving up in weight for this upcoming fight.
Yeah, I was originally supposed to fight at 145. Then I bumped up to 50 to fight Jeff Crotty. And I honestly don't know what's going on with that. I just told that I'll have a fight, so I'm going to fight at 55 now. You know, whoever they throw at me, I'll be ready for it. So,
I guess that's kind of the life of a fighter, huh? Just put me in that octagon, and it doesn't matter who's across from me.
Yeah, and plus, you know, it's hometown, so right. You got to get out there.
Now, have you had to go down in weight before? Like, you always hear more a lot about fighters cutting weight to get down a class. Is it more challenging to go up in class weight or down, would you say?
It's more challenging going up. You know, if you're walking around it, I walk around about 165 and I fight 45, but then, you know, you get those bigger guys at 55 walking around at 180. It's kind of harder, you know, throw those guys around. So I just drop weight classes and I'm doing a lot better in 45 than I was 55.
On the day that you're going to fight, what's your preparation like on the day of the fight or the last couple of days before the fight? You got any certain routine you try to follow?
Well, a couple of days before the fight, I'll be cutting weight. So, and then I'll be trying to eat a lot after weigh-ins the day before the fight. The day of, though, I just, you know, go in my own zone and focus, and I just go out there with a good head. And
so I guess even though you're going up in the weight class, really, you're still going down because you said you walk around at 165. So I guess in a way, it'll be easier for you to make weight for this fight.
Yeah, I'll feel you know, a lot better. 45 is a big cut; takes a lot out of you. But I'll feel a lot better at 55. I've already fought there, so you know, it's not much to worry about. I'm just ready to get in there.
And you wrestled in high school?
I wrestled in junior high one year.
So a lot of these MMA fighters now have the wrestling background, but do you find that when you get in that ring, have you gone up against a lot of wrestlers?
Yeah, I have went against a lot of wrestlers, but I mean, that's just a base. Mm-hmm. I started jiu-jitsu my eighth grade year, and that's where it's at.
That's where the damage comes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, we need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're going to come back with more with Scott Etling, Don Walker, and Myrna Moore following these messages.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hertz 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family. And they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:15, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 90. Mostly clear for tonight. Expect lows in the mid-60s. And then heading into tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a slight chance for some rain. Expect a high Sunday in the upper 80s. Right now at 9:15, we have a temperature reading of 78 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues right after this.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
And at 9:16, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
All right. Thank you very much, Tobinot. Back here on Sports Saturday, talking about the Montgomery County Fair coming up June 20th through the 24th. Don Walker and Myrna Moore in studio. Also, Scott Etling, one of the fighters you will see out at the fairgrounds on Friday night, the 22nd. And Scott, you're 19 years old. I'm embarrassed to even say what I was doing at 19. Certainly not this. Is this something that you always wanted to do? I mean, you said you started your first fight when you were a freshman. So obviously from a young age, this is something that really piqued your interest.
Well, when I was young, I was always getting into fights. And, you know, I just had to find another way to fight, you know, so I didn't get in a lot of trouble. In school, I was always fighting people, and I just found a different way to do it.
I guess kind of a good release for some of the aggression, huh?
Yeah.
Tim, to clarify a statement you just made a while ago, I don't think probably we could say on the air what you was doing when you was 19.
It probably wouldn't be a good idea.
No.
Probably we wouldn't have the rest of the show. We'd be
because
off the air.
Because I can think back to my age at that, and I wouldn't want to, you know, reveal.
Absolutely not. And the dedication that it takes to be an MMA fighter, I mean, as you said, Scott, in our first segment, you've got to put the time in or you're going to pay a physical price.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you have to train to be, you know, be an MMA fighter. It's not just something you can jump off the street and do. I mean, everybody thinks you can, but, you know, a lot of people find out the hard way. But training's where it's at. I mean, you got to dedicate your time to train, and you'll be a good fighter.
Well, let's talk about your training. Who trains you? Where do you train?
I train at Explosive MMA in Hillsboro, Illinois. My coach is Adam Wright, and he's a really good coach, and he's always looking for people out in our area, you know, to come. Anyone interested in fighting MMA, our gym's located at the HFC in Hillsboro. He's a really good coach, and we got a really good program going. We got some tough fighters in our camp, and we have the Hughes boys come up every once in a while to help us with you know, wrestling, jiu-jitsu, and everything. So, you know, everything works out good.
What's it like whenever arguably the greatest welterweight champion of all time, Matt Hughes, walks into your gym and is teaching you the art of MMA?
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, he shows us a lot of stuff, you know. Every time he comes up, we learn something new. Yeah.
The other thing is, I think with Adam, and Scott can tell you better, he's got experience in what kind of fighting is it?
Taekwondo and he's a purple belt in jiu-jitsu.
And to me, that's what I really like about MMA. Like, I didn't, by the time I was old enough, boxing really had come and gone. But with MMA, you get so many different disciplines. There's just no two fights are ever the same.
And that's part of the hard part of Mark Fiore coming up with these bouts, because not only do you have to get people of similar age, similar amount of fights they've had, but they have to have the same style of fight, or it's not going to be a good match to watch or for either fighter.
Right, yeah, so, style makes the fight.
So, you know, it's just, everybody keeps saying, who's fighting? Who's fighting? Well, we try to give you the lineup as quick as we can and as best we can, but they forget all these things are have to be taken into account, and then there's injuries and what have you, or somebody doesn't make the weight they're supposed to make, and that changes everything last minute.
The fights will be Friday night, the 22nd. Do you have what time will they start?
Starts at 7:30, but you know, if you come in a little earlier, especially if you're sitting in the grandstand, because that will be first come, first serve. Now, your other seats are pretty much all reserved if you go ringside or table or whatever, but the VIP bleachers. But there'll be plenty of young men that you can walk around, get autographs. Matt Hughes will be there. We have a big lineup of UFC fighters that will be on hand with Matt for autographs, and Kyle Watson is going to have some fighters there, so he'll be there if anybody wants to go and meet and talk with him. And so gates open at 6. Come on out.
In the past, you mentioned this is the fourth year for this. Have we had female bouts before?
No, we keep trying to get that lined up, but that is extremely hard. There are so few of them.
Yeah.
And we try to keep things halfway in the area. Now, we have fighters coming out of Springfield, Decatur, St. Louis. Buddy McGinnis is supposed to be fighting Adam Osmo, which that's going to be probably our second best match next to Scott's. And Buddy McGinnis is an Iowa boy originally. He fought here a couple years ago. Did an excellent job. I believe he's 20-4 now. So he's outstanding. And Adam Osmo, the young man he's fighting from the Mount Olive Staunton area, is 4-0, and he is on fire right now. So that's going to be a match to really watch, too. But like I said, it is just so hard to find women that are equal, the right weight. Mark could get one, and then he can't find somebody to fight her. It just, it's a mess.
I was going to ask this young man, having played sports most of my life, the day you step in the ring, is there times when you feel, boy, I'm really on it tonight, or, yeah, I'm just a little off? Do you ever feel, have this feeling in your own mind?
I mean, you can tell, you know, when you get in there, every fighter has a good day, you know, has their day. It's just sometimes you can tell when you're in there, you're a little timid or something, you know. It's just, everyone has it.
I'm sure you remember that first time you stepped in the octagon. Just describe your emotions that day.
That was the biggest adrenaline rush of my life, you know, bigger than anything, you know, bigger than a roller coaster ride, you know. it was amazing. I liked it.
8-4 you are. Now, how many of those wins? Are you a knockout fighter, submission guy? What's your calling card?
I've had knockouts, TKOs, submissions, I mean, all around.
What's the best way for a fighter to finish a fight? Knockout or make a guy tap?
Knockout, personally, I mean.
That removes all doubt.
Like putting them out early, but, you know, submissions, you know, people like seeing submissions. Mm-hmm. You got to work for them. But knockouts, they're always nice to see.
Yeah, you can never beat a knockout.
It gets a crowd going.
You guys have mentioned the fighters that are going to be. Do you have some more of the actual matchups that people can see on that Friday night in front of you? As Don Walker and Myrna Moore joining us in studio, the Montgomery County Fair coming up the 20th through the 24th in Uncle Ralph's backyard.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do they even allow you into the fairgrounds?
Well, you can't say it's in downtown Butler, but it's close.
it's in downtown and uptown.
Well, you know, talking about the fair, it's pretty amazing when you think back of when the fair, Montgomery County Fair, first came to be. The pessimist, I guess, so to speak, who said, yeah, 2 or 3 years and it'll all be over with, you know, and thanks to Myrna and Don and a lot of other people like them who have persevered and have brought, excuse me, different things in, like the Ultimate Fight now and stuff, it has fueled the fire and kept the Montgomery County Fair going, and it's a great tribute to these people and all the other people who have persevered and made this a huge success?
I think part of the reason of that is, Ralph, is we put all events on ourselves. I mean, most people hire promoters to come in and do their demos or their quad races or whatever, and we do that all ourselves. So when there's profit to be made or rules to be changed or we just don't like how something's going, we can change that ourselves and make it better for the next year, and all the profit stays in at the fair, and you're just more committed to something if you're running it instead of, no, well, somebody else coming in, that's their problem.
And I don't know who the person or persons was that came up with your, call it a gimmick, call it whatever you want to, your gate admission, and then the kids can ride and ride and ride. You know, this I hear a lot of people talk about. Gee, you know, we took the kids up there and paid the admission fee, and they rode as many rides as they wanted to ride as long as they rode. This had to be a great concept. Whoever had the intestinal fortitude, was that you?
It was
well,
me.
Hold up your hand, girl, because
right.
that's really, to me, is a fabulous thing.
I just wish I remembered exactly what year we started doing it, and I could probably go back through the old fair books and figure that out. But we buy the carnival for one set price. We're committed to that. We pay him up front, and then he gives all the rides away for free. And people just have a hard concept. We have them come up and beat on the window at the fair office. We can't find a ticket booth. Where do we buy tickets for the rides?
Yeah.
They still haven't figured that out.
We were out and about last night, and that discussion came up. Volunteer Fireman, I believe it is, has a carnival in Hillsborough this weekend. And individuals were talking about they went and what it costs for their kids to ride various rides, which is normal. That's nothing against this carnival, because it happens everywhere. And they made that remark, is how in the world can the county fair do that and survive, I guess they were trying to say. But it's unbelievable, and I'm sure you're right. People say, hey, where do I buy tickets? And if you go to county fairs or carnivals, whatever you want to call them, this day and age, the cost is really expensive for your kids to go and ride. And of course, Don, they've taken a lot of things out of carnivals. You can't pay another 50 cents and go in the back of the tent and see something you didn't see in the front of the tent. We don't have that anymore.
You're aging yourself, Ralph.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Well, I had to get Walker in there. He's old enough
to remember.
That must
have been when you were 19, huh?
Yeah. That might have been one of the things I was doing when I was 19, Tim. Yeah, you're probably right.
With having no set prices for the carnival rides, I guess there's really no way to accurately gauge how many more people come through the gate because of that, but your attendance has to be through the roof.
Oh, we have a good attendance, and we do know how many come on the fairgrounds every night because, well, approximately. If you're an exhibitor at the fair, you get an exhibitor pass and you get in free the whole week of the fair. But we know, total dollar amount, divided by three. It's not real hard to do because it's $3 for you to get in. And then we know how many people go into our grandstands. So we figure, pretty roughly how many people just come to ride those free rides. And it's an outstanding number. But it isn't a terribly big number. You're still not going to stand in line a long, long time. He brings between 15, 16, 17 rides. So there's plenty of rides out there to ride, and the amount of line may be one or two times of getting on is the most you would stand in line. And people don't really take advantage of that on Wednesday and Thursday.
Oh, there
they
you
wait
go.
Till the weekend to come,
oh, yeah.
And then there is going to be a little longer line.
Yeah.
Come on out on Wednesday and Thursday and enjoy those rides. And
you, if you're not familiar, if you're someone who doesn't live in the immediate area, if you're not familiar with the fairgrounds in Butler, I don't know how it could be better. You've got a lot of parking. You've got shade trees galore if people want to come and bring a picnic basket and set it. They're just, it's just a beautiful complex. It really is. And what these people, again, and all the people involved in the county fair have had the intestinal fortitude to take on their own and say, well, we're going to do this next year, and we're going to do this, and this will make it better, and they have done this, and it, you just can't say enough for them or about them.
So the Montgomery County Fair, June 20th through the 24th, free carnival rides every day, MMA fights Friday night, and Don, I know another popular event you guys have is the Demo Derby. People love Demo Derbies.
Yes, Greg Marsh has been in charge of that, I guess, ever since, I don't know when, and I used to be one of the referees, and I would tell another fellow that was a referee with me, I said, you know, I don't know a blooming thing about these cars. I don't know what to look for. And I said, we need to get somebody in here that knows what to look for, the way they build these cars. You know, there's illegal and legal ways,
sure,
with rules they got. And so we finally got that changed around, that we had boys in there that did this, and so they got to be the judges, because I said, it's no place for me. And we used to do the combine derby, you know, we have rules. Well, these young men, they know where to hide braces and stuff in a combine. You can only do so much to a combine when we had combine derbies. And I'd go down and be a judge at Madison County. All I had to do, make sure if the combine got out of bounds, tell him he's out of bounds. You know, you have been too intelligent to do that. But you got to be intelligent when you go inspecting these things, and that way you can be uniform and fair in everything you do.
How many different divisions will there be for this Demo Derby?
Six classes. So pretty much any kind of car or truck you have, you can bring it out, and somebody will be willing to come up and smash you as hard as they can.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, Tim. It's from the littlest car to the biggest car or
to full-size trucks.
They've got
full-size trucks.
Full-size
trucks.
Yeah, and they've added, I believe you have a small car thing now.
Oh, the compact car to me is
yeah, that's
the most exciting to watch. They go the fastest and they hit the hardest.
And then, of course, one more facet of the whole thing is Mr. Walker's gig here, the truck and tractor pulls.
Yes, that's been, and the treasurer's here to verify, we have been actually making a little money with the truck and tractor pull. And fortunately, we've had a lot of local participation come back. Butler Homecoming has been going on for a lot of years with the truck and tractor pull, and we always pulled a good number for there. And it was a little hard for some reason, I think because of the time of the fair, some of the farmers weren't done yet. But nowadays, they're not necessarily all farmers that's doing truck and tractor pulling, especially tractor pulling. It's guys that got an everyday job that are into that. Maybe they did farm at one time, but we're getting our numbers up with the truck and tractor, and that's on Sunday. Starts at about 10, and there's like 15 classes all together, so it's kind of a marathon because it takes a while to do all that.
Then the Demo Derby Saturday?
The Demo Derby's on Saturday.
So that's a weekend of solid entertainment. MMA fights Friday, Demo Derby Saturday, tractor and truck pulls on Sunday.
And also the Western Horse Show will be over in our horse arena, and that is always a good attraction. It's free. People don't have to pay anything other than $3 admission to get into the fairgrounds to watch that Western Horse Show, which is run by Bonnie Branham. And Bonnie's been in charge of that for years and does a great job.
Excellent.
Now, if you want to see some speed, you need to come watch the 3D barrel racing. It's three divisions. So no matter if your horse is the fastest horse, the medium horse, or one of the slowest horses, you got a good chance of winning. And there'll be over 100 horses in that class. I think there's something like $2,200 or $2,300 in prize money just for that one class. And it's just an outstanding show.
And I'm always amazed at the the skill of the riders, but more amazing even, Tim, than the skill of the riders in the barrel races and stuff are the skills of that horse and how they are trained and how they lean in and out, whatever they got to do to get around those barrels and get the best time. It's just amazing to watch these animals, the skill level that they perform at.
Some of those horses, all you got to do is hang on tight.
That's right. That's right. You don't. They know their game better than you know it.
Yes.
So just let them go.
And I would like to, if I could, this year's horse show will be in honor of Gloria Branham, Bonnie's wife, who passed away last year, and she barrel raced and loved it. So Dean and Mary Brown have very graciously donated $100 extra prize money for the winner of Ladies Barrels, and the fair is giving a 4-foot-tall trophy away to the winner of 3D Barrels in honor of Gloria. So
4-foot-tall. Tobin, that's bigger than you.
Same height.
That's rough.
Same height. And another thing that we talk about, all the freebies that you can get at the Montgomery County Fair. Another freebie you have there, Don, is on Sunday. You said you had how many classes of tractors?
I think there's eight. Well, there's nine because we added another class of 12,500 pound. It's going to be a 12 mile an hour, and that'll be 100% payback on that. The other thing I'd like to mention is, thanks to some area people have donated money, and we will have a new distance board and a mile per hour. And this thing is a digital readout deal. It's like 2 foot tall and 4 foot wide, and it shows the speed and the distance. So there's no question anymore. The sled operator, it's much easier for him now. He doesn't have to make the decision, and people can automatically see the. And that board cost, there's several towns that went together. It cost over $4,200.
Wow.
And he didn't have to say that guy is sitting on the sled, and he doesn't have to listen to that guy that's announcing saying, "What'd you say?" You know. Well, what I started to say Don, after this is all over on Sunday, there will not be another mosquito in the Butler area the rest of the summer, because these tractors are going to take care of. They'll put enough black smoke in the air the mosquitoes couldn't even fly
through.
Well,
that's good.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Don Walker and Werner Moore here on behalf of the Montgomery County Fair, and Scott Etling. He'll be fighting in the MMA fights coming up on Friday night. And Scott, you said that you're planning on turning pro. When was that going to happen for you?
In September, as long as things go, you know, as planned with my next couple fights. Get these next wins, and that's my plan, to go pro in September.
Excellent. Do you have a song that you walk into?
It's a fight by 3-6 Mafia.
Nice. That gets you amped up, Don.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds like that ought to get you revved up.
If that doesn't, nothing will.
Yeah.
Guys, we want to thank you so much for coming in studio today, talking about the Montgomery County Fair. Myrna.
Thank you, Scott.
Very nice. I'm not messing up Scott's name. I want to walk out of here. Hey. Scott, thank you very much for coming in, and good luck on the 22nd.
Yep, thanks.
All right.
Good luck in your future, period.
Absolutely. The Montgomery County Fair coming up June 20th through the 24th. We're going to take a break. Sports Saturday rolls on following these messages.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
June is National Dairy Month, a perfect time to celebrate the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms, even if you're constantly on the go. Enjoy the benefits of Prairie Farms plastic pints, available from your grocer and at area convenience stores. And plastic pints of orange juice, 2% chocolate, or non-fat milk are great when you're on the run. National Dairy Month, and plastic pints make it easier for you to taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
And at 9:40, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sunny skies for today. We'll have a high of around 90. Mostly clear for tonight. We'll have lows in the mid-60s. For Sunday, partly cloudy skies. There is a chance for some rain on Sunday. Expect a high Sunday of around 80 degrees. And an extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. Partly cloudy skies. Slight chance for some rain Monday and Monday night. Expect highs in the low 80s. The lows will be in the upper 60s. At 9:40, we have a temperature reading of 80 degrees. And the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Jacksonville and Carlinville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your spring finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with four locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, housing lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:41, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize and Uncle Ralph.
I don't think Tobin appreciated the 4 foot trophy comment.
Five foot seven. 5 foot 7.
Oh, top 10. Calm down. Don't get your panties in a bunch. Just joking around, having some fun.
I know.
We want to thank Don Walker and Myrna Moore and Scott Etling for coming in to our studios. And Uncle Ralph, you were saying off the air, the work that Don and Myrna do should not go unnoticed.
No, and you know, every community, every county fair, any event, party in the park, Old Settlers, whatever, there has to be those two or three individuals that make the whole thing successful. Yes, there's other people that do their part and they help, but there's always somebody that takes charge. And, you know, when you think of Old Settlers, immediately you think of Kathy Dagan with the Queen pageant and stuff, you know. And every community has to have those people to make it be a success.
And Scott Etling, he's an impressive young man.
Yes, he is. You can almost just look at him and predict that he will do well.
He has that look to him, doesn't he?
He's got that determination look, like a guy that, no, I don't really want to get in the ring with him.
Well, absolutely. I liked how he said, well, I was always getting in fights when I was growing up, so hey, might as well make a living at
it. Yeah, might as well get paid for it.
Absolutely. So that'll be exciting, the MMA fights on Friday night, the 22nd of June. And life of a fighter, doesn't matter who they put in front of them, just lock me in there and off we go.
That's what Matt Hughes always said, you know, well, I got to fight him sometime, you know. And so you just go with it. But if you take the Montgomery County Fair, and having lived here all my life and watched this fair grow, it's just amazing the success that it has had. As Myrna said, not necessarily always monetary-wise, but just the success. You know, there's a lot to be said about, Tim, when you hold a function, whatever it is, or in the wintertime when we go and do basketball games, or in the fall when we go to do football games, how important it is to that individual out there playing the game, whatever it is, to look up and see the sidelines. Are the bleachers full of people? You know, that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. You get such an adrenaline rush from the crowd.
High school sports, basketball and stuff, it's a lot like we said here. You pay a $3 admission to get in the gate and your kids can ride the rides all night. You know, you go to a ball game, you pay $3 and you sit in the stands and you're entertained for whatever, depending on what time you get there to watch both games or what. And where do you get more bang for your buck?
Well, that's right, Hunger. You always say that you know there's no better value than going and watching high school sports for what they charge and the entertainment that you get out of it.
And basically, you're gonna go to that game regardless of the skill level, but you're going to see participants that's putting out 100%.
I'll never forget that time when the first Litchfield-Hillsborough game I ever worked for. And I've always heard about the Litchfield-Hillsborough rivalry coming from Staunton. I was like, you know what, Staunton-Gillespie's probably, you know, I introduced, and now the Litchfield Purple Panthers, and their crowd went nuts, and the Toppers topped that, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, Litchfield-Hillsborough is always a good time. Doesn't matter the sport.
Oh, yeah.
It's always good.
It could be marbles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could be tiddlywinks.
That's right.
And they'd still be competitive. It's always been that way, and you know, and I hopefully it will always stay that way. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line on that is, Tim, they're very, very competitive against each other, but it's good, clean competitivism.
It is. You know, the kids from Litchfield and Hillsborough, they know each other so well.
Well, they know it back the back of your hand, yeah.
Absolutely. Guys, we're going to transition away here to baseball. Cardinals lost last night in their first interleague game of the year, 6-2 to the Cleveland Indians. I got some numbers here. Cardinals started 20-12, okay? They swept Arizona, moved to 20-12. They came home to face Atlanta, retired Tony La Russa's jersey. Since that night, they've played 28 games. They're 10-18.
Yeah.
10-18 well, since just, they retired TLR's number.
I think either going into last night's game or after last night's game, they're either at 500 or they're one game over.
They're one game over 500. But in the month of May, they were 13-16 and now just 3-5 in June. And the problem has been starting pitching.
Yeah.
They're giving up runs early, Uncle Ralph. Like last night, Westbrook, you've just won two on the road. You come home to open up a big home stand. Your starting pitcher goes out and gives up two runs in the first inning. So right away, the crowd's out of it. And they've just been giving up runs early in ball games, and it seems like they've been playing catch-up for 4 weeks.
Yeah, they have. And not taking anything away from Cleveland. Cleveland's a decent ball club. Yeah. They're competitive. They're gonna give you competition every night. They're not gonna come out there and lay down and, you know, let you walk over them. But the Cardinals, they look like they're getting into the pattern they was in last year during midseason. Just everything they needed to do, they didn't do. And then all of a sudden in August, everything they needed to do, they did do.
And this has seemed to be a pattern for a number of years now. They have a great April, stink in May, tread water in June and July, and then seem to turn it on in August and September. They played 22 games in the month of April, went 14-8, allowed just 60 runs. 2.7 runs per game is what the pitching staff allowed in April. Played 29 games in May. You're three games under. They gave up 145 runs in the month of May, five a game. And now here in June, they've only played eight games, or 3-5. They've already given up 43 runs, just a little over five per game. Just bottom line, that's not good enough. No. That will not get it done. The offense has been spectacular. You know, they had a little rough patch there in New York, but that's going to happen. The offense has been great, really, from the word go this year, but the starting pitching has got to pick it up.
Pitching has went south on them, and in certain games, not only has the pitching went south, but the defense has been a little shaky.
3 errors last night.
Yep.
And all you could say, routine plays. So, I mean, they've got to really just play better. You know, I mean, you could talk about we need to do this, need to do that. They just got to play better, plain and simple.
And of course, we have to have mentioned they've had some key injuries to some key ball players.
Garcia's on the DL
you
now.
You know, and Adam Wainwright is still feeling his way. He has signs and shows signs of being the old Adam Wainwright, and then sometimes he does not have those signs.
It'd be nice to see him put two or three quality starts together in a row here. He hasn't really had that this year. He was good in Houston the other night. I tell you what, Lance Lynn has been spectacular. Well, where would they be without him?
They're lucky. They're lucky that he has stepped up, because if he hadn't, with Wainwright, who they figured to be their ace and not being of that caliber, they could be far worse than they are.
And with Garcia on the DL now, I think it's probably a safe assumption to say that he's been, whatever his problem is, it's been with him all year long. That's why he wasn't really pitching up to his capabilities. And so with that in mind, Wainwright coming off the surgery, he's, you know, doing what he does. Lynn's been great. Loesch has been good. Right now, Jake Westbrook's the weak link. Yeah, I mean, you have I have no confidence. When he takes the mound, no confidence.
Well, and I wonder how much confidence he got in himself. And Westbrook's problem is just like last night. He puts you in a hole before you get out of the first inning.
Yeah.
Now, you're 2-0, then you're 3-0. And at one time, it was 6-0. And the Cardinals got a couple runs. But, yeah, he's got to step it up. Some of the rest of them's got to step it up. Their middle and late relief has been respectable. But, yeah, they got some work to do. They got to get some key players back, you know, but who knows?
And injuries are part of the game. You're going to have injuries. They had a lot of injuries last year. They've had a lot of injuries this year. But most of their injuries have really been to their position players.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Carpenter hasn't been there all year. Now Garcia's hurt. But other than that, the starting rotation and the bullpen, for the most part, has been healthy. Of course, McClellan has gone down for the season. Salas is back now. And they said the other day, I find this unimaginable, that when they sent Salas down to Memphis, he notified the medical staff down there that he's had a kidney stone since spring training.
Yeah.
Didn't tell anybody about the kidney stone he had when he was up with the big club, because you know how that works on Corrupt. Nobody wants to get Wally pipped.
Yeah.
You know, you never say you're hurt at the major league level. You just try to fight through it. But he looks much better now. He passed the stone down in Memphis, and now he's starting to look like his old self again. But think about that. He dealt with a kidney stone, didn't tell anybody for like 3 months.
Yeah, that's, I would say, not too bright on his part. But I guess that's part of the game. I guess the big question is, in the Central Division now, you knew going into the season, or you thought you knew, that Cincinnati and St. Louis would probably be the two teams that you would say would be at the top of the heap. But now you got to keep asking yourself, when's Pittsburgh going to wake up and realize who they are?
Yeah, well,
I think that's happening now.
Well, Uncle Ralph's saying who they are in terms of bad, not good.
Well, yeah, but
you know, they've played, and if you analyze Pittsburgh, maybe they're where they think or thought they would be with young ball players.
Yeah, I mean, they've slowly gotten better the last several years. And you remember last year, they were right there at the All-Star break, and they had that tough loss in Atlanta, like a 20-inning game, a blown call at the plate cost them. And after that, they took a nosedive. But right now, the Pirates, 3 games over. They're just 2 games back. Cardinals, 1 game over, 3 games back of the Reds. And the Cardinals have played well in the Central Division, but when they've stepped outside the Central Division, it has not gone well. Against the NL East, they are 3-11.
Yeah.
And the NL East, the best division in the National League. They're 1-5 against the Braves, and then 1-3 against the Mets and the Phillies.
You know, and it's good to see. I'm not making a joke of Pittsburgh. It's good to see Pittsburgh. It's good to see Washington. It's good to see some of these have-nots step up and bite a few people.
And if we learned anything from last year as Cardinal fans, where you're at on the 9th of June doesn't really matter.
No.
You know, you just got to keep yourself in it if you're the Cardinals. Stay within, you know, don't get more than 5 games out of first place. You stay within 5 games, get to the All-Star break, maybe get some of these guys back, and then maybe they can really take off. Because they really have not had a stretch where they've won 9 out of 10.
No.
10 out of 13. You know, they've had some prolonged losing streaks, but they haven't really gotten into that groove where they've won a lot of ball games in a row, and that's because the starting pitching has not been consistent enough to give them that.
And another thing, here we are, as you said, approaching the middle of June. We're not there yet, but we've already had 4 no-hitters.
How about that? The old combined no-hitter last night.
Right, yeah.
And you wonder if old Terry Collins is wishing that's the route he would have taken last Friday night when Johan Santana threw his no-hitter. He threw 134 pitches, and then last night he got shellacked against the Bronx Bombers.
Yeah. Who, you know.
Who aren't a slouch anyway. That's not a slouch
No,
team.
Not exactly.
No, they weren't playing a
bad team.
They
won a few games.
And I tell you what, that he's fun to watch, and what a great ball player for the Yankees that Robin Cano has turned out to be. Mm-hmm. That guy is a stud.
He is. But he just hits, doesn't he?
He hits. He's good defensive ball player. He is just a solid ball player.
I find this ironic. You look at the standings now, and Uncle Ralph, you kind of alluded to it, how the parity, not competitive balance, I'll put it this way, Baltimore. Where in the heck did they come from? They're leading the East. Pittsburgh's doing better. Washington's in consideration. You're having a lot of have-not teams that you could just write the check off easy win. Not the case anymore.
Well, and Miami's been...
They've really picked it up.
Yeah, they've picked it up. Of course,
it's that new ballpark.
Tampa Bay has been a pretty good ball club, and they're solid again. The surprise, I guess, in that Eastern Division of the American League would be Boston, but they're beginning to play a little steadier ball, and they'll bite some people before the year is over.
Every team in the AL East, I believe, is over 500.
Yes, they are.
And the only team in the NL East that's not over 500 is the Phillies.
Yeah.
Go figure. But they have been, they talk about ravaged by injuries, missing Ryan Howard and Chase Utley. Their offense is not what it has been over the last handful of years.
Philadelphia has the same problem I have. They're getting older.
Yeah. You know, and I said it before the start of the year, the Phillies this year really reminded me of the 2007 Cardinals.
Yeah.
They had their window, the Phillies. It's usually about a three-year window in professional sports, no matter what the sport is. It's a three-year window, and the Phillies had a veteran ball club. They went to the World Series there back-to-back years, won over 100 games last year, but kind of like the Cardinals, they got old in a hurry. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like Edmonds and Rowland aged overnight. It seems like Chase Utley and Ryan Howard now all of a sudden, these types of injuries that they have, these aren't nagging injuries. These are serious injuries.
And they're injuries that happen to ball players, as they get a little older. And, I guess that's why they play 162 games.
The cream rises to the top.
Yep, cream always rises to the top. But it's going to be an interesting summer to see what happens.
We'll have Cardinals on the radio for you tomorrow afternoon as they will wrap up their series against the Indians. Live coverage tomorrow, 12:20 on WUSMI AM 1540. We are running out of time here on Sports Saturday. A couple things we still want to hit on. The Belmont Stakes is today, and unfortunately, Uncle Ralph, there will be no Triple Crown as I'll have another. He will not have another as he is retiring front foot tendonitis, basically, what he's come down with. And
did a little workout yesterday, and he thought he was better. And then after he had worked out his lower leg swelled up again. So what they did was the right move.
It's the right thing, because all you have to do is think back. There was a couple years in a row, maybe, or two times out of a three-year period at the Derby where they had to put a horse down on the track, and that is something that nobody wants to see. They really had no choice. They had to shut I'll Have Another down.
And you know, we talk about achievements in sports. One that has to be right at the top is hard to achieve is Triple Crown.
Oh, goodness. Will we ever see one again? Gut feeling.
Well, you know, you wonder about the
It's so grueling. Was it three races in a 5 or 6 week period?
Yeah. And, it's probably one of the things that will be the hardest to achieve. There's several things that look to be impossible. There's several things that look to be impossible that didn't stand. So
right. Well, something a lot of people who watch professional basketball thought was impossible was for LeBron James to have a big-time game in a closeout situation. And I watched that game the other night. That was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen. 45 points. He shot like 73% from the field, and it was a variety of shots. That's why he's the best basketball player on the planet.
Yeah, he reminds you of the old days of Michael Jordan. Oh. Get on my shoulders, boys. I'm going to take you through.
And, you know, you watch him do that, and you wonder, why doesn't he do that all the time? No one can stop it. If he's just aggressive and plays like that, no one can stop it. For the next 10 years, no one will stop it.
Be interesting to see what happens in
Game 7 tonight, Heat and Celtics. The winner will get the Thunder in the NBA Finals. And who knows? Maybe the hockey season will be done tonight as the Kings will try to bring home the cup in Jersey.
And the everlasting saga of what's going to go on in Ramsville continues.
Hello, London.
Yeah.
We want to thank Don Walker, Myrna Moore, and Scott Etling for coming in to talk about the Montgomery County Fair and the MMA fights. The fair, June 20th through the 24th. We are out of time. For Tobin, Uncle Ralph, I'm Tim. That is Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.